I know the two verses that Adam read for our scripture reading this morning are not verses that you normally connect with the Christmas story, but I would submit to you this morning that the essence of Christmas, not all the detail that we know about it, but the essence of Christmas is conveyed in the first two words of John chapter 1, verse 11, where the Bible says, "He came." He came. That's the essence of Christmas. He came. He came as our Savior. He came to be our substitute. He came to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The fact that he came is indisputable from a historic standpoint. I mean, even history itself, I mean, just forget about the Bible for a moment. I won't ask you to forget about it much more than that, but just forget about the record that's in this book, which is God's Word. You can go back and you can read in secular history and you can learn about the life and the death of this man called Jesus. And then we, of course, have the perfect record in the Word of God, how he came and was born of a virgin, how he lived a sinless life, how the death on the cross was not for any crime that he committed, but was to pay for all of our sins. And then the resurrection, the bodily resurrection after 3 days and three nights in the tomb. We have proof in this book, the Word of God, that all that is true. It happened, and it happened for us. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." We know who the prince of darkness is. Satan is the prince of darkness. And because he is free in this world, we live in a world that's darkened by sin. And Jesus said, "I have come into that world darkened by sin as a light." You know, when you live in the dark, it's easy to be content with things that are around you. For example, if you never turned on the light and you had all your windows shaded and curtains on it, and there's never a light that came into your house, you could live in a house and it could be very, very dirty and nobody would notice. I mean, you couldn't see it, because there's no light. You could live in a cave, and that cave could be full of bats and snakes and roaches and all sorts of other creepy things that live in caves. And as long as you never had a light in that cave, you wouldn't know that you were in danger from, you know, all these creepy things that creep around. But when the lights go on in a house, I mean, you can see that maybe there's some things that need to be dusted. And when you bring a light into a cave and can look up and see the bats and can look around and see the snakes and can look around and see the roaches, you probably don't want to spend very much time in that cave, because the lights have come on and you've realized the danger that you're in. Jesus says, "I'm come as the light of the world, so that you can see the shape that you're in, so that you can see the danger that you're in." He said, if I hadn't come, you'd never be able to see what you are. You'd never been able to see the danger that you're in because of that sin. And he not only came to help us see what we are and the danger that we're in, he also came to help us see a way out. He also came to help us see a way of escape. He said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." In John chapter 15, verse 22, Jesus says, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin." Jesus said, "I've come in to shed light so that you can see your sin. And you can see the penalty for that sin. And you'll know what shape you're in. You'll know what danger you're in. And you'll know what to do, because I've come as light." You know, there's a very popular movie that's shown this time of year. Many of you probably have it on DVD or video cassette. The name of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed. It's about a man named George Bailey. And the gist of the movie is George finds out how his town and his world would change if he never existed. And those of you that have seen the movie know that the place that he lived without his influence was a terrible, terrible place. And I got to thinking a couple weeks ago, what would the world be like if Jesus had not come? If Jesus had not left the shores of heaven to come and take up residence on this earth for the 33 or so years that he lived here? If he had not left the Father's side and come to earth, what shape would this world be in? What would we be missing if Jesus had not come? And so this morning I want to preach on that subject, if he had not come. If Jesus had not come, how would the world be different? Well, first of all, and it's very obvious at this time of year, if Jesus had not come, there would be no Christmas. There would be no time of year where we celebrate the birth of the Savior. There would be no story of Mary, who, as a young lady, as a virgin, bore the Christ child. There would be no story of Joseph, the young man that was engaged to Mary that wanted to put her away after he found out that she was pregnant, not understanding yet what God was doing. We would never know their stories. There would not be the true story of the shepherds biding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and that visit from an angel with that holy announcement from God, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that angel told the shepherds how they would find, where they would find the baby Jesus and what to look for. There would be no story of the sky filling with that angelic choir and praising God, peace on earth, goodwill to men. We would have none of that if Christ had not come. Of course, there would be no star. There would be no star because there would be no wise men that would be looking for that star, so that they could come to Bethlehem and offer their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the Christ child. There would be no manger, no little baby, none of the things that are connected with Christmas, none of the familiar stories that are connected with Christmas. They would not exist if Jesus had not come. All the things we sung about this morning, the songs that we sang, if Jesus had not come, would not exist. All the things that we will celebrate over the next week or so, there would be no need to celebrate if Jesus had not come. And I know some of you might say this morning, well, we would still have Santa Claus. And I submit to you this morning that no, you would not. Because you see, the story of Santa Claus started with a bishop or a preacher named Nicholas that was a pastor of a church on the southern coast of Asia Minor about 1,600 years ago. Because of his kindness and his generosity to his people, especially the poor people in his church, he was dubbed a saint, Saint Nicholas. And after he died, the Dutch carried on his memory. And at Christmas time, they would put gifts in children's shoes or stockings and told them that St. Nicholas left them. The Germans picked up on this story. The German name for Nicholas is Claus. The German name for saint is Santa. And so you have Santa Claus. And you might say, well, if Jesus had not come, we would still have Santa Claus. And I would submit to you, no, we wouldn't. Because if Christ had not come, there would have been no church for Nicholas to be the pastor of. If Christ had not come, there would be no kindness done by that pastor to his people. If Christ had not come, there would be no Christmas, no baby in a manger, no shepherds, no wise men, no Santa Claus, no holiday. If Christ had not come, the end of December would be nothing that we know today if Jesus had stayed in heaven. If he had not come, there would be no Christmas. Number two, if he had not come, there would be no churches. Because in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If Jesus had not come, this church would not be here today. I'm not talking about the building. Perhaps this building would have still been here for some other reason. I doubt it. But I'm not talking about the building. The church is the called out assembly. We are the church, this group of believers that have met together this morning. And if Jesus had not come, we would not be here this morning. This church would not exist. If he had not come, we would not be here doing what we're doing this morning, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, because there would be none. I would remind you this morning that Jesus calls the church the light of the world. And he is the light. We reflect that light through our lives to others. But can you imagine what this world would be like if there was no light? Can you imagine what this world would be like if there were no Christians reflecting the love of Christ? Can you imagine how this world would be, not only this time of year, but all throughout the year, if Christians were not there to shed the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Bible also, Jesus also called Christians the salt of the earth, the preserver of the earth, that and the church that Christians make up as the institution that holds back the rottenness that Satan brings into this world. I mean, that's our job as a Christian. That's our job as a church, to be salt, to preserve this world. And when the salt is taken out, you say, preacher, we live in a pretty rotten world today. And I know, all you do is read the newspaper, watch the TV. I know we live in a rotten world. But can you imagine what the world would be like if Christianity was taken out of it? If all Christians were gone and there was no salt left in this world, can you imagine what the world would be like? Hey, if you want some help on imagine it, turn to the book of Revelation and read what happens after the rapture when all the Christians are taken out, when Satan takes over and sets up his kingdom on this world. You have the 7 years of tribulation, a terrible time that nobody should want to be a part of. That's what happens when God takes the salt of this world out. And our job today is to preserve the goodness and the decency and the kindness and the Christianity that does exist in the world today. That's our job. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says, "And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed." A tough verse to understand, but what the Bible is saying is, yeah, Satan's here today and he's having his way a little bit, but just wait till God takes all the restraints away and takes out all the salt and see what happens to this world and how wicked it becomes. You think it's a bad place now? Wait till we leave. You think it's a wicked place now? Wait till we leave. And again, the book of Revelations will give you a preview of what happens. So if Jesus had not come, there would be no Christmas. If Jesus had not come, there would be no churches. Number three, if Jesus had not come, there would be no gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Had he not come, he would not have died in my place. Had he not come, he would not have died in your place. Had he not come, we would be accountable for every sin that we've ever committed to a holy, righteous God who says the wages of sin is death. Had he not come, he would not have died and been buried. Had he, Paul talks about it. I'm going to get to it in a minute, but he talks about it. He says, if there's no resurrection, then there's no gospel. Not only did he have to come and die and be buried, he had to be resurrected from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And if there was no resurrection, there would be no gospel. Had he not come, there would be no salvation. He said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Had he not come, there would be no way to heaven. Had he not come, there would be no way to have our sins paid for. Had he not come, there would be no salvation in this world. It doesn't matter how many material goods that we have. That does not make a difference. How much money or how much property or how much you have. It doesn't matter the ease and the luxury in which we live. It doesn't matter how we've conducted our life. None of that matters. The wages of sin is death, and we're all sinners. And had he not come, there would be no gospel, and we would be a miserable people. Judas rejected Christ. And when he took that 30 pieces of silver back to the priest and cast it down on the temple floor, he realized that he no longer had a chance with Christ. No gospel. You remember what he did? He went out and hanged himself. He went out and hanged himself. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have our hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What Paul was saying is, if only while I live, I have Jesus. If there is no death and burial and resurrection, if none of that existed, if there is no gospel, if there is no salvation, if there is no way to get our sins forgiven, then he says, we are of all men most miserable. Can you imagine? I know it's hard. I was trying to do this earlier this week. I cannot imagine what my life would be like without Jesus Christ. I can't do it. I mean, I tried. I said, what if he never left heaven? What if he never came? What if I never, as a teenager, heard the story of Jesus going to the cross and dying for me? What if I never knelt down by that red vinyl couch in my pastor's office and asked Jesus to be my Savior? What if that never happened? And I thought to myself, I don't want to figure it out. I don't want to even imagine it. Paul describes it pretty well. We'd be of all men most miserable. Because if Jesus had not come, there would be no gospel. And then finally, number four, if Jesus had not come, there would be no hope. We'd have no hope. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. If he had not come, we would have no hope of escaping hell. If he had not come, we would have no hope of heaven. If he had not come, we would have no hope of being redeemed by his death, burial, and resurrection. If he had not come, we would not have any hope of having a new and glorified body. If he had not come, we would have no hope of ever seeing our loved ones again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I read it just about every funeral I conduct. The Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I don't think I could ever conduct a funeral. And I know it's, and I've done a couple of them, and they're the hardest funerals to conduct when you know or you think the person, the body that's lying in the casket, that person had no relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, I try to be kind to the family. I don't get up there and say, well, I don't know of any time this person received Christ, so they're in hell this morning. I don't say that. It's the truth. But I don't say that. I would much rather stand in front of a funeral by a casket and be able to say, hey, I know that person's in heaven. That's just the shell. That's just the body that person used while they were here on earth. But they're in heaven this morning. I mean, I don't enjoy funerals, but if I'm going to pick between the two, that's the one I'd pick. I'd want that hope that person whose body lays in this casket is walking the streets of heaven. I want that hope that person maybe who had been sick or suffered a surgery and didn't make it through the surgery was walking with Jesus. I'd want that hope that one day we will be reunited again. One day we will see them. One day we will be together again, never having to say goodbye, never having to be parted again. And we have that hope in Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brought to us on Calvary. And if he had not come, if he had not left heaven, we would have no hope. I praise God this morning that Jesus did come. I don't understand why. I can't explain to you why he would leave heaven and come and live among sinful men. I can't explain to you this morning why he would let all of my sin be heaped upon himself and die and suffer hell, separation from God on my behalf. I cannot explain that. I cannot explain why he would do it for you. I can go back and I can read a verse like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave it and he did it. And he worked out salvation, but I can't explain to you why he would love us. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we have any merit within ourselves that would cause the creator of the universe to love us enough to send his son to die in our place. I can't explain it, but I can proclaim it. I can tell you that it's true based on what's in this book, that Jesus did come. And because he did come, we do have Christmas. And because he did come, we have a church. And because he did come, we have the gospel. And because he did come, we have hope. But the sad thing about it is that there's still many people that have never received him, that have never received the Savior. If you go back to our text, John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That verse is talking about the Jews. He came to the Jews, and the Jews did not receive him. But that verse has wider application today because it goes beyond the Jews. Jesus came to everyone, and yet there are some that have still not received him. There's probably people in this room this morning that fall into that category. You have not received him. You'll celebrate Christmas next week, but you don't know the Christ who made it. You come to church like you did this morning, but you don't know the one whose church it is. You hear the gospel, but you've never claimed it. And because you've never claimed it, you have no hope for eternity. You have no hope of heaven. You have no hope of being part of God's family. And maybe you're here this morning and you'll say, you know, preacher, I think you're talking about me. I'll celebrate Christmas like I have in years past, but I really don't have joy. I come to church, but when I get up to leave, I leave empty. I hear you talking about hope, but I don't have any hope in my life this morning. What do I need to do? Well, I'm so glad you asked. What do I need to do? You need to do now what you're going to do a week from now. A week from Thursday, Christmas Day, in all probability, you're going to get a gift. At least one. Probably more than one in many cases. You're going to get a gift from somebody that loves and cares for you. And you're going to receive that gift. You're going to take it from that person, and you're going to open it up, and it's going to be yours because you've received it. That's exactly what you need to do with Christ. He said, I came into my own, but my own didn't receive me. And then the next verse says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's the simplicity of salvation. It's not doing something. It's not being something. It's not joining something. Salvation is just taking something, receiving the gift that God has purchased for every person. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then John 1:12 again right after that, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came to be your Savior. He came to pay for your sins. He came to be your substitute. Would you take him this morning? Would you take the reason that we have Christmas? Will you take the one whose church this is? Will you take the one who offers, the only one that can offer salvation from your sins? Would you take the one, the only one that could offer you a hope for eternity? Would you this morning? It's just as simple as what you're going to do a week from Thursday. Nothing secret about it. Somebody gives you something, you take it. It's yours. God has given you something. All you got to do is take it, and it's yours. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making it so simple. So simple that even the little ones back in the fellowship halls, Brian preaches the same gospel. They have the same opportunity. And I pray, Father, that you would give the folks in this room the same childlike faith that the children have. A faith that says, maybe I don't understand it, but I've heard it. And I'm just going to trust it, and I'm going to try it and see if it works. And I pray, Father, every person here this morning that doesn't know Christ, I pray that you'll just help them to see that they're a sinner. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God forever. But when Jesus died on Calvary, he died to pay for my sin. He died to pay for their sin. And if we'd simply ask him, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Please save me. Please save me. Help them to see, Father, that that's all it takes. That simple call, that simple receipt of the gift that you've purchased for us. And I pray, Father, that every person here this morning that's never done it would do it right now, right where they sat, would ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then, Father, for those that did it, I pray in just a moment when we have a song of invitation, they would walk the aisle and they would share that decision with us so that we could rejoice with them. Father, bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. I pray for the many Christians that are here that if there's something in our hearts that's in between us and you, that you would help us to get rid of it, whatever it is, whatever stands in the way. I pray if you're speaking to folks here about specific things to do with their life, that this morning they would surrender and do those things. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.